Chapter 1. Catholicism and the Century of Lights. In Catholic areas of Europe, in 1869, on the eve of the Council, the churches were full. Men, women, and children participated with obvious sincerity in a rich variety of religious devotions, including public processions and pilgrimages to local shrines. New religious orders of women had sprung up, and vocations to the priesthood were plentiful. Nuns and priests were leaving Europe in large numbers to spend their lives in foreign missions, usually with little prospect of ever returning home. Such phenomena were not deceptive. Almost wherever the Catholic Church found itself, it showed remarkable vigor. By 1870, the Church numbered perhaps as many as 200 million members, of whom three-quarters lived in Europe. Membership was especially concentrated in four areas: France, Italy, Austria-Hungary, and the Iberian Peninsula. With about 37.5 million Catholics in a total population of 38 million, France was the strongest Catholic nation. By mid-century, it sent two-thirds of all missionaries leaving from Europe. Two decades later, it numbered one nun for every 350 inhabitants of the country. Although sharply divided ideologically, France led the Church in new Catholic initiatives, which flowed from there to the rest of the Church. But in Spain, Italy, and the traditionally Catholic area of German-speaking lands, the populations showed themselves similarly devoted to their Catholic heritage and ready to meet the challenges of the day. This vigor is all the more remarkable when viewed against the background of 50 years earlier. The French Revolution and its pan-European Napoleonic aftermath had traumatized the Catholic Church. As the Revolution became ever more radical, it turned anti-Catholic. Voltaire's wish, "Écrasons l'infâme," let us destroy the villainous thing, became a rallying cry. Before this turn of events, large segments of the clergy supported the Revolution and its goals. But the situation soon soured. The Revolution had hardly begun when the government, on the verge of bankruptcy, seized all the property of the French Church, an act that with one blow reduced the richest church in Christendom almost to destitution. At the Revolution's most radical stage, the Reign of Terror, the government sent priests, nuns, and bishops to the guillotine and drove others into exile. Angry mobs sacked and destroyed churches and monasteries. The Revolution was far from being an exclusively French affair, though nowhere did it devolve into forms as radical as those in France. Every country in Western Europe felt its impact, and the Church suffered accordingly. Across Europe, the onslaught devastated the great religious orders such as the Dominicans and the Franciscans, reducing their membership to an almost negligible level. The execution of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette threatened all monarchies, and by extension, the Church, which for centuries had supported the monarchies and in turn had been supported by them. The executions put fear into the hearts of kings, not least that of Pius VI, the Pope of the era, a monarch by virtue of his office as ruler of the Papal States. Despite all, the Church survived and emerged from the trauma seemingly stronger and more vibrant than before. It faced, however, new and extraordinarily difficult challenges, many of which were due to the ongoing effects of the Revolution and to the philosophies that undergirded it. The challenges included the dramatic social changes resulting